Hello and welcome to Rebecca Neal, the podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca, a holistic health and life coach, business mentor, creative entrepreneur, and your online bestie. I'm here to remind you that it is more than okay to show up as your authentic self, to have high expectations for your life, to become financially independent and get paid to do what it is that you love. Each week, I'm going to share episodes with you to inspire, educate, and empower you to reconnect to your soul's purpose, to awaken that power within and create a life and business that you desire. My mission and purpose is to help you find confidence to take your life from ordinary to extraordinary, to give you the tools and steps to living more in alignment with your true self. So if you're ready for honest and practical, soulful lessons, and you're committed to investing in yourself, then you are in the right place. And the reality is, no one's coming to save you, and it's really only up to you to start to create and design a life that you love. A life that's exciting and invigorating. It's time to take charge of your life right now. Are you ready to grow, babe?
Hello and welcome back to Rebecca Neal podcast. Today's guest is Ben, and Ben is a nutrition and lifestyle coach and the co-founder of Addicted to Fitness. He has built his coaching philosophy over the last 10 years, successfully supporting a diverse range of people, including some of Australia's best CrossFit athletes and corporate professionals, as well as busy mums, helping them to take control of their nutrition, health and fitness for the long term. These days, Ben's passion and focus is supporting people to take control of their health and wellness from a holistic view and to allow them to feel healthy, happy, fit, and energetic and to live their best life. Welcome to the show, Ben. I am super excited to have you on.
Hey, Beck. Pumped to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's exciting. I'm really pumped to talk about all the things that we've got planned today. And I know that I have a lot of mums actually that listen to this podcast, so it's going to be really cool to talk about a lot of the holistic views you have around that. But before we get started, I always ask my guests how they drink their coffee, because it really says a lot about people, I think.
Oh man, no pressure, hey. I mix it up a little bit, if I'm honest. So depending on how I'm feeling or what's happening in the day, I like to switch between just the boring old long black. Sometimes I'll sneak some different type of adaptogens and things like that in there. Otherwise, if I'm out at a cafe maybe, or I'm feeling like a bit of extra, feeling a little extra hungry, I'll go the coconut latte. I'm a big fan of those as well.
Yes, I love that so much. I used to drink coconut lattes. I haven't heard someone talk about that in so long. And I knew you'd be someone that had adaptogens and all the fancy things in your coffee if you had it at home. So that's so cool.
Yeah, I love playing around with those.
It's so awesome. Tell me a little bit more about which ones you put in there.
Probably the two favorites that I roll with are Lion's Mane. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that one.
Yeah, it's so
and
good.
And Cordyceps as well. So,
yeah, so the mushrooms are such a good mix for the immunity, hey?
Yeah, for the immunity, and just I find the focus and the extra energy and that type of thing as well is great. And, yeah, I just like to experiment with them and have a play around and see what different results I get and different types of focus, different energy, hopefully improved immunity as well. So yeah, it's cool. Some a bit of a, let's say an experiment.
Yes. I love that so much. So tell us, where did it all begin for you when it comes to coaching? Like, did you have a passion for sport as a kid? Tell us a little bit about your background in the fitness space and moving more, I know, into the holistic health space nowadays.
Where did it all begin? If I was to take it like way back to when I was a kid, I've always had kind of a passion and drive just to be super active and energetic, loved plenty of different sports, just, yeah, loved being outside as much as possible. Kind of was always the kid that coming from school and was just in a hurry to get back outside and be running around doing something until mum would be like, it's time to come home, the street lights are on type deal. So I could never get into computer games or anything like that. It was always kind of that vibe, I guess. In terms of my sporting career, I'd like to probably say I was more the jack of all trades, master of none. So, yeah, so I played soccer for like 15 years from like as soon as I was old enough to sign up, rugby league as well. Just enjoyed the kind of more social sports like Oztag and things like that. What else did I do? As I kind of got a little bit older, I did some competitive mountain biking as well, and then kind of moved into a lot of different board sports, snowboarding, wakeboarding. So just being super active. I didn't really find the gym till about the age of 22 or so, I would say. So I was a bit of a late starter to actually physically stepping foot in a gym.
Nice.
And that's kind of where that was kind of the catalyst for my progression in terms of my career and self-development and all that sort of stuff started from. Now that I kind of look back or in hindsight of it, it allowed me, I started going to the gym just off the back of a breakup, probably as many people tend to do, trying to just get some extra confidence, and got a little bit of my addictive personality, I suppose, kicked in, and ended up training for a couple of physique shows as well, which I know you're familiar with.
Yeah, the good old bodybuilding days. I think we all started in the fitness industry in the bodybuilding sectors.
I think so, and whether that's healthy or not is definitely up for debate, but it's a journey nonetheless, so that's cool. And then I kind of got sick of that just regular bodybuilding style training, I suppose, and got quite heavily into CrossFit and started doing a bit of competitive CrossFit as well as some CrossFit coaching that eventuated into. So that was a cool experience. And then, like I mentioned, over time, that focus has just been a progression over that number of years. So I'm 34 now. So just for some context, it's been kind of 12 to 15 years, I suppose, of that focused style training and lifestyle. But yeah, and I guess initially like a harmless weight session to try and build some confidence off the back of a breakup has led to an insane amount of self-discovery and self-improvement rabbit holes, and allowed me to kind of get to the place where I am now.
Yeah, I love that so much, because I think there's a lot of people that jump into the fitness space off the back of different things, and sometimes it is that breakup and that confidence boost. I think I started training when I was 19. Well, I went to the gym like 16, 17, but mine sort of started when I was doing modeling and promotional work because I needed to look a certain way. But my real love for fitness didn't start till I was like maybe 24, 25, when I really took it seriously and went into the fitness space as well. So do you think that the CrossFit coaching is what led you to then want to be the coach that you are now? Is that where the coaching kind of career began?
So a bit I probably skipped out was after a couple of years of training myself initially just in a fitness club or a Globo gym or whatever you'd like to call it, I knew there was a bit of a passion there, and it worked well with all the kind of other sporting things that I was doing at the time as well. So I got qualified, got my Cert 3 and my Cert 4 and that type of thing, and started doing some group fitness, like some outdoor boot camps and a little bit of PT, but it was always just something on the side, never kind of moved full-time into it, at least for the first couple of years. The CrossFit coaching was the first, I guess, career in the health and fitness industry that I moved into as a full-time role. So yeah, I would say that was probably kind of the catalyst or the starting point to me digging deeper and yeah, working on the coaching aspect of my life, I suppose.
Yeah. Awesome. And so tell me, I know that you like to help take people down a journey of more of a holistic view when it comes to health and wellness. So I'm super passionate about holistic health too. And it was sort of off the back of bodybuilding that I discovered the holistic side of life, because as a bodybuilder or a fitness model, you just care about looking a certain way and you'll eat what it takes to look that way. And then I, you know, went through some mental health stuff, and that's what really took me down the path of learning more about the science behind health and the mindset and the body and all that sort of thing. So tell us a little bit about where the holistic point of view comes in and why are you passionate about helping people with this now?
It kind of comes, again, off the similar to what you just said, it comes off the back of my own experience, both in the physique show stuff and kind of getting burnt out from that and realizing I needed a change in moving into CrossFit. And then, like I mentioned, I've had in the past, I've had a little bit of an addictive personality. So moving into CrossFit, I kind of went down the same road in terms of pushing really hard and going all in and taking it to the extreme. And that essentially led to burnout as well. So the view, I suppose, of taking the health and fitness or your health and your wellness as from a holistic point is understanding that health is a lot more than just like physical health or physical fitness or physical appearance. So social media can be responsible a little bit, I think, for that now as well, is like we kind of seem to glamorize these like amazing physiques, whether it be like bikini models or you know, guys, super shredded guys with like six packs, and we kind of idolize that look. We can go down the rabbit hole of whether that's even real, whether it's been edited, airbrushed, that type of thing, but that's another aspect altogether.
Totally.
But yeah, essentially we don't kind of see the bigger picture. We just, a lot of people just get caught up in chasing that physical aspect, just physical health, physical appearance. And we don't kind of take a look at the bigger picture. Like I mentioned, we just see this one moment in time, this one photo,
yes. And
we don't consider the other sacrifices that those people are making to look like that. We don't kind of understand that it's not even sustainable. Again, it's just that moment in time. And we don't see that they potentially have no social life. We don't see that they have potentially relationship issues because all their focus is just on this one element. We don't see even maybe the drugs that they're taking. Maybe they got no libido, no energy, no business life, no money, all these other aspects of their life that's potentially out of balance just for this one photo that everyone's glamorizing.
Yeah, I love that, Ben. I love that you shared that, because even then it took me down a memory lane, and I remember I actually was in the fitness space and I was so damn obsessed with what I was doing. And yes, it gave me that incredible body. I was 9% body fat. I had veins. I had, you know, everything I wanted to achieve, I had in this body. And every second person was like, oh my God, you look amazing. You look amazing. And that feeds you and you stay in this egotistic centric world. And what happens is everything around you, unless they're in that world or space with you in the fitness space, you actually lose that and drop away. And I remember I was dating someone new and they were just like, you make it way too hard to be spontaneous. This is boring. This is not what I want for my life. So you start to lose relationships and friendships because you're in this tunnel vision of this is the only way to be and live. And your whole life revolves around this addiction. Like you shared, it is an addictive thing because you just become so obsessed with the process of what you're trying to achieve, which is such, like you said, I love how you said that. It's just one single photo. Like that's what we're aiming for, to look a certain way. And we lose all this aspect of friendships and social lives and relationships and beautiful experiences because we're so focused solely on that.
Yeah. And like, it is a slippery slope and it's probably the dark side to physical health and physical fitness and physical appearance, which there's so many amazing benefits to all of that as well. Yeah. But as you kind of do go down those rabbit holes, you kind of become blinded to the other things that it's potentially negatively affecting if we're not careful. And it's addictive, you know, it releases these chemicals in our brain. It, like you get the serotonin and the dopamine hits and it wants you to keep coming back for more. And then you put the photo on Instagram of you looking good and then you get the likes and that makes everyone, yeah. So like it's understandable. You can't beat yourself up over it. And in that moment, you're choosing that. So it's not even necessarily to say it's wrong, but it's just to try and bring awareness to there's more to your health and your wellness than just like that physical appearance or to be able to run a faster 5K or whatever the case is.
Yeah. And that's a good point you make too. Like there's absolutely nothing wrong with having a goal, whether it's competitive sport or bodybuilding and looking a certain way. I just think it's, how can you round that more and become a little more holistic and actually look at it with a a whole viewpoint and bring in a bit more balance, or potentially only do it for a short period of time, you know, not this long-term type thing. And I guess everybody's individual and everyone's different with that. But I think I'm incredibly grateful for my experience in bodybuilding and what I learned and what I taught, and the fact that I could have resilience and determination to achieve what I did, which I'm sure you can relate to as well. So it was definitely a great experience. But again, it's like, just have that awareness and open mind to the experience.
I think so. And like I said before, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like you mentioned, think of the discipline that it brings, and kind of that aspect of hard work and all that, those positive traits that you get off the back of it from putting in that time and putting in that work as well. But I think it's important that people don't kind of glamorize what they see from someone when they don't understand the bigger picture. They don't know what the rest of their life looks like.
Yeah, that's so true. And social media makes it hard to know all those details.
Yeah, it can do. Like, so I suppose obviously your physical appearance and your physical health is important. Like, we obviously all want to look good, we want to feel good, we want to be fit and healthy and all that type of thing. But to be healthy, I suppose we have to focus on our physical health, but we also have to focus on our mental health and our spiritual health as well. Not to be all kind of woo-woo, but that is super important too. And some, like, that's going to look a little bit different for everybody also. So getting clear on what that looks like in the first place is probably going to go a long way to, I guess, your direction and like your satisfaction within that as well.
Yeah, so you'd say that mindset is a pretty key aspect to the health and wellness journey, then, not just your nutrition and fitness, would you say?
Massive. I'd say mindset is everything, and that's in all aspects of your life, right? Like, I know that you teach a lot of it within what you do as well, but it relates to our health, our fitness, our well-being. Like, I love the thought, I love the quote, "Your words create your world." And that goes for your internal words too, like the stories and the thoughts that you're telling yourself all the time, both consciously and subconsciously also.
Yeah, I love that. And do you teach your clients a lot around mindset then? Like, are there certain tips or tricks or practical things that you teach them that you could share with us?
Yes, like massive into mindset. Because I think getting your head right, as I mentioned, it's everything. Like, it's a game changer in terms of like whether you achieve whatever your goal is or not, and kind of what that process looks like to get there. So like a super simple example, and because we're talking about, or we've mentioned fitness a few times, right? So say someone comes in and they say, "Oh, I can't run 5 kilometers for whatever reason." But as soon as you say, "I can't do this," that's kind of this defeatist mentality straight up, I suppose. And it closes off any thought or possibility of improvement, essentially. It's just like, this is something that I cannot do. And whether that's true or not, it doesn't really matter anymore, because we've already decided that we can't do it just by that story that we're telling ourselves. But something so simple, what happens if we change that and it's, "I can't run 5 kilometers yet."
Yeah.
One word. And all of a sudden, like, even when you say that to yourself, you think about how it feels to say that. It's now like, it's kind of almost motivating, because you're like, I can't run it yet, but I can run 2 kilometers, or I can run 3 kilometers, or I can walk 5 kilometers, or I can work my way toward it. I'm just not quite there yet. And that's literally like one, that's just one example with shifting one word in your head and the game's changed.
Yeah.
So like, imagine if you start to dig deeper into all of that.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And it's that whole language piece, right? It's like, even when you say that, it just has such a lighter energy added to "I can't," but yet you can, you know, potentially you can, but you just can't yet. And I love that. That's really powerful. That's cool. So my,
So I think, like, as I mentioned, like,
you go.
You're right. Sorry. No, sorry. Got a bit of a delay.
Yeah, you're good. So My guess is someone like you really values their health and has some pretty epic routines. I know because we live like pretty close to each other that we run into each other in the morning sometimes, and that we have this beautiful beach view, like pretty much the whole coast and the sun rises. I'd love to take a look into your morning routine and what you do, because as we know, success leaves clues and people are always curious about what people are doing in their morning routines. Share with us a little bit of a look inside Ben's routine.
Yeah, I do have some routines, and especially a nighttime or an evening routine and a morning routine. And they, like, for me, they're not perfect either. They're always, I guess adjusting and adding and subtracting and trying to find what works. And I don't get them perfect every day, but I guess my evening routine, I would look at it as a way to set up my next day. So most of the things I'm doing in my evening routine are kind of wind down routines to get me quality sleep so that I feel energized and ready for the next day. So I'll start there. Ideally, what I'd like to do is I kind of try and finish my last meal, I suppose, around an hour or two before I go to bed. So I don't like to go to bed on a full stomach. So that's kind of the start of my evening, I guess. As the sun goes down, I wear blue blocking glasses. So that kind of gets the brain essentially ready, or telling the brain that it's evening time, wind down, relax. We block all that blue light out, which is that light that stimulates the nervous system and keeps us awake and stops melatonin production and all that type of thing. If you don't want to go all out and go the blue light blocking glasses, you can get apps on your computer and apps on your phone. Actually, I think your iPhone does it automatically if you press the setting that dims that blue light as well. So that's something kind of a big advocate on as also. And then the only other kind of non-negotiable that I have in my evenings is I get off my phone or any screens 30 more bed, and I'll ideally read a book or something just to help me wind down, like a physical book, not too stimulating on the brain. Again, my whole goal is to wind myself down before bed and get that calm space so that I can get a quality sleep.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so then in the mornings, what do you do? Like, do you get up? Do you journal? Do you run? Do you walk? Do you train in the gym first thing? Or do you like to have a bit of a slow routine in the morning?
Yeah, so I really like a slow routine in the morning. And the way I think about my morning is I'm trying to set my tone for the day. And there's a quote that says, "Win the morning, win the day." Right. So me is something that I try and hold myself to. And what that looks like, I suppose, is I'll jump up out of bed and I will have a cold shower.
Yes. All about
that's it. That's my non-negotiable every morning. Yeah. Yeah. And that's my first little win for the day. So it's something uncomfortable that I don't want to do. But if I jump in there, jump under the cold water, have the shower, tick the box, I've won the morning already within the first 10 minutes of me waking up. Straight after that, I'll jump out of the shower. I will make my bed. That's another win for the day. Something super easy to do, also super easy not to do. I will take myself to the kitchen, 2 big glasses of water, my third win for the day. Then I'll generally do a 10 to 15 minute meditation. Famously, that just looks like sitting in silence for 10 to 15 minutes and focusing on my breathing, and 5 to 10 minutes or so of journaling after that as well. Anything that possibly comes up editing, I will journal on also. And the reason that I like to do that is if we think about how we go about throughout our day, we're just constantly getting filled with inputs, right? So we're learning, we're reading, we're working, people are talking to us, just in all the time. And we don't really take the time to get any outputs, I suppose. So meditation and journaling is an output for me. So it's a way to clear my head, get my thoughts out, to kind of empty the space so that I'm straight after that, I will generally go out for a walk. As you mentioned, we live in such a beautiful part of the world, so I try to make the most of that. And that walk might just be about half an hour just to get the blood moving, and then I will come in and my day will start.
Yeah, that's awesome. And there's some simple things in there that anybody can really do. And I love that you mentioned how we're always taking in information, and something that I'm really big on and I've been doing for years is I have no notifications on my phone. Only phone calls can come through and that's it. I'm responsive, not reactive to the world around me. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, live on that reactive plane, and they're not purging, or they're not releasing, doing any journaling. They're not doing anything that's really getting into this inside part. It's all just coming in and not coming out, as you say, which is really cool. And I love how you mentioned making your bed. It's like the most simplest thing, and it just really, like, I think it's a military thing, but it's like to set your day up. You've achieved something, you've successfully done something, or you've done a task, and then you move into your day. And the cold showers, I've been having cold showers for so long, and I swear, and you're from Sydney too, and we actually used to live in the same area in Sydney, but it was so cold having showers in Sydney in winter, right? Cold showers.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having them up here compared to down in Sydney. But yeah, people always ask me, like, oh, what's all the science and the beneficial effects and all that type of thing to cold showers? And sure, there's some, and you can go into like how it stimulates the vagus nerve and all this kind of sciencey type stuff. But like for me, as I mentioned, the best part about a cold shower is like it's really uncomfortable. I really don't want to get in. So when I do and I achieve that, and that's my win for the morning, I feel really good. And that's kind of like, that's the biggest benefit right there.
Yeah, totally. It's awesome. And it also like really is refreshing. It is such a refreshing way to start the day as well, for sure. So then this year, I know personally with my clients and people around in Australia, around the world, that stress has definitely been something that's much more prevalent than it has been in the years before. I mean, on a global scale, let's say, it's always around us, but, and I'm sure you would agree with us, what role, like from a holistic health point of view, do you think that stress has on the body? And is there some practical tips that you might teach your clients or that you could teach the audience today to help them manage their stress better? Because I've got clients down in Melbourne right now who are living in this crazy nightmare of the lockdown, and its stress is definitely a big problem for them. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts on stress and what we can do about it.
Just to elaborate on what you said about this, the current kind of times that we're in right now, I suppose, is it is stressful. Like there's no arguing right, incredibly stressful pitch is fine. Like there's so much uncertainty around, and I think a lot of us would do well by just accepting that and not beating themselves up. So not putting up so much resistance to like, why can't I diet through this period? Or why don't I have any motivation to train? Or why don't I have any motivation to work, when like your world for a lot of people is like literally just being tipped on its head, which is a huge stressor in itself. I think just understanding that, I suppose different stresses from all aspects of our life are cumulative. Like we don't discriminate between, oh, I've got work stress in this bucket, for example, so I'll just go and train really hard or diet really hard and everything will be okay. All the different stresses, whether you like even some that you may not be aware of, like someone cutting you off in traffic, for example, like right up to how am I going to survive this week because I've lost all my income. All those stresses, regardless of where it's coming from, go into the same stress bucket. And that stress bucket just keeps getting filled up over time. And as we mentioned earlier, if you don't have any outputs, eventually that stress bucket's going to fill and it's going to overflow. And that's when we're going to have injury, when we're going to have illness, when we're going to have disease, we're going to have all these kind of negative effects essentially on our life. So if you are in a super stressful time at the moment and you've lost your job or you're struggling with a relationship because you're all on top of each other, locked down in your house in Melbourne or whatever the case is, like don't try and diet and lose weight. Maybe don't try and train 6 days a week to eat. Like maybe just think of the things that you can do to help empty your bucket a little bit.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think it's really important because I know for me this year has been incredibly challenging. And I did have a partner earlier in the year, and watching him go through incredible amounts of stress through COVID actually put him in hospital. And it was a really scary time to see that happen and the way it shut his body down. And I also too, like not training, started drinking more, like eating like crappy food. And it's definitely taken a toll on my body. But I got to the point, and this is what I like what you shared there, is that the acceptance piece that this is just how it is right now and it can be changed in the future. And I think that people need to remember that really clearly, that this is just a moment in time, that this too shall pass, and that maybe dieting, like you said, is not okay right now. Maybe dieting isn't the right idea. Like, just be more kind to your body, like, you know, decrease what you're eating or like move your body differently. Maybe it's about doing yoga instead of doing a high intensity workout, you know, doing different things from, you know, a different mindset, I think is really powerful. So I love how you shared that. It's really just about maybe it's taking a step back instead of trying to hustle forward.
Yeah. And like, I want to try and like also bring up that that's not an excuse to let yourself off the hook. Like, we obviously need some common sense and having discipline to control yourself, in all aspects of your life is important as well. So it's not an excuse to just kind of sit on the lounge and bury your head in the sand and do nothing and, you know, order Uber Eats all day and that type of thing. Like, there's some things that are going to make you feel better. But like you mentioned, maybe we don't have to go and do this like heavy weight session in the gym. Maybe we just need to go for a walk today along the Esplanade, or maybe it is okay to like enjoy a meal off your diet with your partner this weekend, or like whatever it is. It's like, don't people almost weirdly tend to take pride in punishing themselves for some reason without even realizing it? Like, it's like a badge of honor.
Yeah, it's a bit like self-sabotage, I think, too, right? And I know for me, I'm not a big drinker, but this year I definitely drank a lot more with the COVID situation. I don't even know how it sort of happened, but I fell into it. But I then realized that I was behaving in ways that was not aligned with my values, not aligned to me personally. And I didn't spend time beating myself up about it. I created the awareness around what was happening and the behaviors that I started to take on, which is okay. And then I recognized, okay, maybe there's some things I need to change here to get back into alignment with who I truly am and not let that stress take over and change the habits that I have, and just be okay with that and recognize it was just a moment in time, and doing the things like just going for a walk or just getting the body moving and still taking care of your health and wellness and fitness through stressful times is important, because that's going to amount to more stress when you put that stress on your body of like shitty food, more alcohol, not moving the body, right? So I think what we both agree on is just having like doing what it is that we need to in that moment and not beating ourselves up about it.
And see how important that mindset piece is as well. Like, you mentioned that you had a moment where you were drinking a little bit more than you probably should and that type of thing, which kind of going two directions with it. A, you said that you went back to your values and you realized it didn't align with them. So you've done the mindset or the internal work there to be aware of what your values are. You're like your real why, which is powerful enough to break you out of that bad habit. So that's like an important mindset takeaway. And then on top of that, you mentioned you didn't beat yourself up. You didn't kind of wallow in self-pity about it. You didn't keep like playing on the fact. You just picked yourself up, shifted direction, and started moving back towards the direction that you knew you should go. And both of those things come from the right mindset.
Yes. I love that you recognize that. It's so awesome, because it's so easy to be like, oh, I screwed up and I'm not doing what I'm aligned to and my values are all over the place. Oh, fuck it. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing, right? It's so easy to do that and stay in the dumps. But it's really about coming back to your mission and why in life, like you said. So it's really cool. So Ben, having done loads of modeling over my years, I am definitely not shy to a diet. So let's talk about diet culture and why it doesn't work. I mean, I've experienced bulimia. I've done fitness modeling. I've eaten 3,000 calories. I've eaten 500 calories. I've literally done it all. I've been on a vegan diet. I've been on a paleo diet, a keto diet. So, and I think that's pretty common for a female as well. So share your thoughts on all things diet culture.
This is a massive topic. If I had to summarize it, I feel like the diet culture unfortunately promotes extremes.
Yeah.
So I don't want to keep throwing social media under the bus, but everyone can relate. So I'm going to draw it back to that example of, you know, you look at that fitness model that looks amazing and they've got the abs or whatever it is. And the more you kind of submerge yourself in that scene, essentially, or you go down that rabbit hole, the more that starts to become the norm. And as I mentioned, like, your extremes are rarely healthy, right? In any direction. Like, we don't, obviously, like, we've talked about the implications of, like, you just mentioned doing these extreme diets, being super shredded, unsustainable, having no social life, all that type of thing. And then the other aspect is obviously being overweight and the health implications with being obese and obesity and diabetes and all that type of thing as well. So they're the extreme ends, right? And the answer is probably, or the answer is somewhere in the middle. But it's not exciting. It's not noteworthy. It's not very saleable, marketable, anything like that. So it doesn't get spoken about a whole lot, unfortunately. So that's where I think the problem with the diet culture is we get caught up in more is better all the time. And we dig deep into, well, I could lose weight on 2,000 calories, but I could lose weight faster on 1,200. Like, so, and we just keep chasing that next thing. And I just think it breeds, it just comes back to it not being sustainable. I'm a massive fan of sustainability. And as I mentioned, unfortunately, like, within your health and your fitness, it's not sexy. It's not that saleable or marketable, if I'm honest, but it works really well for the long term.
Yeah, I love that, because you're right. It's not marketable, but it is about finding what works for you and not what's working for someone on social media. And if you do get caught up in following all these fitness models and things like that, suddenly your feed is full of these people and that's the norm. So maybe it's about unfollowing these people if they're making you feel less than good enough. And I know for me personally, over the last couple of years, mind you, COVID did screw me a little bit this year, but it was my choice. But I feel healthiest, happiest internally, externally. I may not be the fittest, I may not be the leanest, but I love myself so much for the first time, you know, in the last couple of years, more than I have my entire life. And it's such an incredible feeling to feel healthy, to feel well, to feel happy, to feel whole. Like, that's what people should be aiming for when it comes to dieting or like eating a certain way. It's like, how do you feel your best? How do you thrive? How do you give yourself the most self-love, you know, by nourishing your body and your mind and soul? I think
I would agree 100%. And I think that most people, when they, like, in terms of dieting, obviously they have this, again, coming back to, they have this physical goal that they think they want to achieve, and they might frame it, for example, with, I want to lose 10 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but why? You could care less about the 10 kilos. Like, you don't, the goal is not to see the scale weigh 10 kilos less. Like, it's just a number. Doesn't mean anything. They want to feel a certain way. Most people who want to lose 10 kilos or lose weight, they don't even really want to be shredded. They don't even really want abs. They want to feel confident. They want to feel energetic. They want to feel attractive to their partner. They want to feel something. And I think people lose sight of that. And I think, again, it's coming back to, like, the mindset piece of getting, like, really clear on why you want to achieve that goal, or what is important about that that kind of outcome that's leading you to think that you have to diet all the time. Because once you get clear on that, on like what the real reason why is, a lot of the time you might realize that, oh, I don't actually even need to diet at all to achieve this.
I love that, because when I was a personal trainer and a coach for sports models, like, and people always just said, I want to lose 10 kilos. It was like their favorite number, right? And now in the business space, 10K is their favorite number. And I think it's hilarious that people have these like weird goals. And it comes back to, like you said, it's about what that 10,000 will give them and make them feel. It's about what that 10 kilos will make them feel or have. It's always about the deeper reason behind why they want that. They don't even know why they want that number. It's generally that, like you said, they want to feel more confident. They want to feel more self-love, blah, blah, blah. So I think people need to remember why they want to do things in the first place, and not look at the number or the, you know, I think the number is false, because we know that you can weigh heavier and look lighter. So focus on why you want to feel a certain way or look a certain way. So I know we've talked about, you know, just then we've just talked about how being in the middle and being balanced is a really good thing. But what if you are someone who is training and, you know, maybe CrossFit athletes or bodybuilders or fitness models or people wanting to get that body fat loss down? Do you think that training and nutrient timing is important when it comes to body composition? And what's some practical tips if people are on that journey that you could give them? Is there sort of anything that people should think about or consider?
There is. And I think that this, I think everything's on a spectrum, right? I think your training and nutrition and all that kind of thing are on like a spectrum or a sliding scale as well, depending on how much resources, energy, time, commitment, all that type of thing that you want to put into this particular goal is kind of how deep you want to go with it. So like in terms of your training and nutrient timing specifically, for most people, I don't think nutrient timing is as important as we like to make out. Again, there's extremes where it does become more and more important. If you want to step on a bikini show or a physique stage or something like that, and you're dieting and your calories are really low, then maybe we look at like how we're going to best set up our meal frequency and the kind of makeup of our meals and that type of thing. But if you are, for example, just wanting to feel fit and healthy, and you've kind of got a reasonable, you know, you have kind of like 3 to 6 meals a day and they're spread out relatively evenly, then like, I think we could care less about meal timing specifically. I think it's just another thing to worry about otherwise. There is principles that we should all stick to depending upon our goals. The methods, I think, are going to be better off thought about from the aspect of how does this best suit your lifestyle and what you have to give to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So do you think that most people should be looking at, you know, a balance between the macros, like, you know, your protein, carbs and fats, and having a good, healthy balance if you're just someone that is looking to feel better, more vibrant, more energized and feel fitter and healthier?
Yeah, I do. So like at like a really high level, like if we're not going to get bogged down in kind of like counting calories and macros and weighing food and tracking and all this type of thing, most people could benefit significantly, in my opinion, from prioritizing some form of protein source at most of their main meals and some vegetables at each of their main meals. So I call it produce and plants, right? Mm-hmm. So that doesn't matter like whether you're vegan or vegetarian, like there's different protein options. Again, that can suit you depending on like your eating style and how you like to do it. But for most of us, if we prioritize a protein source and prioritize veggies, so just quality, whole, unprocessed, nutritious foods at most of our meals, that alone, is going to go a long way to improving the majority of people's diets.
Yeah, that's really handy. It's really awesome. And again, it comes back to what we were saying, like, you know, about being restrictive, and it's not necessary if you are someone that's just on a healthy journey. I always say just eat more plants, great sources of protein, and whole foods are your best bet, right? You can't go wrong with that, and drink a lot of water.
I agree. If you stick to that, these whole like single ingredients quality foods, most people, as a general rule, if they're realistically sticking to that 7 days a week or most of their week at least, you're going to have a hard time over consuming that type of food. It's hard to overeat vegetables and lean protein sources, and especially if you're drinking adequate amounts of water as well. Like, you're going to feel nice and full and satisfied. Yeah. And most people won't be over consuming that. It's those packaged, processed, kind of hyper palatable, I suppose, or delicious foods. That's where the calories add up really quick, and that's where we can come unstuck.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's some great tips in there. For most people, it's just about coming back to whole foods. So would you say there's one thing that you often see with your clients across the board, like a challenging thing that comes up for you often? And if so, how do you help overcome this with people?
So I think like change kind of happens when the pain, like this is another quote that I really like and resonates with me. And this is what I see often, is that change happens when the pain of remaining the same is greater than the pain of change, because change is hard, right? So people come to me when they're so fed up, or for some reason they've just got this big like kick of motivation, which is awesome. Like, they're ready to change, they're ready to do it. And what comes with that is they want to just shift everything. We want to just come like years of these ingrained habits and behaviors and patterns, but today I'm ready to just change it all. And it's just unrealistic. Like, it's cool, like that motivation and that desire to do it, but like to break years of like ingrained poor habits and behaviors, or less than ideal, I suppose, takes time, right? And then motivation's a feeling, and the feelings come and go. So as soon as that initial period of motivation wears off, it's like, oh, can I really be bothered? This is hard. I can just go back to what I used to do because I'm comfortable with that. So like we spoke about earlier, what I try to get them to do is get really clear on their why to start with. Like we mentioned before with the scale analogy, like, why do you really want to lose weight? Why are you here? And that's going to look different for everybody. But if we get really clear on that, that's our driver. So that's like when things get a little bit challenging and our period of motivation starts to fade, we can come back to that. Like you did with when you said you're drinking too much, you came back to your why, your values, and that allowed you to shift direction and keep moving forward. Whereas if you were just relying on willpower, it's fun to sit on the lounge and drink red wine, right?
Gin and tonics.
Yeah. So you need to have a strong enough why you want to change so you can keep going back to that. Then we break down that why or that overarching kind of outcome or that goal into these small little manageable steps, these manageable wins that we can make along the way, things that we're super confident doing. And that's going to be different for everybody. Essentially, we're starting with where you're at and building on it from there. Because what happens when we take these baby steps is they're nice and actionable, they're easy to implement. Once we implement them, that creates a little bit of momentum because we take that small win. The momentum creates motivation, and the motivation is what, from the momentum, is what's going to keep us moving forward toward that overarching, like that bigger outcome or goal. Yeah. So I guess just taking that kind of period of initial motivation and breaking it down into actionable steps that we can sustain over the longer term, and just pulling people back a little bit from their initial excitement to make a change, is the most common thing that I see.
Yeah, and I think something that's been prevalent throughout today's conversation is the sustainable piece and the lifestyle piece, which is what you keep coming back to. And I think people need to recognize it's not about a quick fix or an overnight fad. It's about how can I make my goal or where I'm going more of a sustainable lifestyle, long-term thing that can just become part of your habits and lifestyle and doing on a daily basis. And I think that's so great. And you've come on here today and not gone, try this, do this, this is what this works, and this is your greatest secret sauce. Like, it's like, find what works for you as an individual, but find something that's sustainable and something you can do lifelong or long-term, because that's what's going to create that longer-term change in habit, right?
Yeah, 100%. And not everyone, like, you've got these, like, your audience, I'm sure, like, business people, type A personalities, like, really want to be successful and dedicate a lot of time to their business and their careers and that type of thing. So it's like, to come to that type of person and say, like, you've got to have this diet where you count and weigh and measure all your food and enter it into an app and, like, track your calories. Like, cool. That's awesome. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm all for that because it creates awareness and there's plenty of benefits to it. But, like, for some people, like, they don't value that. It's not realistic. And again, it's not sustainable. It's going to take away from the other things that they want to be doing. So how do we implement these sort of health and these fitness and wellness aspects into your life that's going to improve your quality of life and improve your business and improve your career and not detract from it?
Yes, I love that so much. So I have loved today's chat. We've talked about so much great stuff. What are you currently working on, Ben? Share with us today a little bit more about what's going on for Ben in your world with work and your career, because I know Addicted to Fitness is launching in a couple of weeks. Is that right?
Yeah, so that we're super excited about that platform. So that's probably been, that's the number one project that we've been working on recently and can't wait to get that out and share that with the world. And essentially that's, it's going to be an online place for all things health, wellness, and fitness. So we've spoken about a couple of them today about the importance of mindset and stress management and staying nice and active in a way that suits you, and obviously nutrition and that type of community, your environment, all that type of thing, and how all those different aspects or those different pillars play into your overall health, your overall wellness, your overall fitness, and how we can implement them. And as I mentioned, obviously that looks different to everybody. So the goal of the platform is to bring in the best speakers, coaches, athletes from all of those different aspects, bring them together onto one platform to be able to educate everyone, I suppose, within that platform who's interested, and give them the tools and the knowledge that they can take away and implement into their lives in a way that works for them.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm super excited about what you guys are doing, and it'll be so cool to be able to link that in the podcast show notes, hopefully, when it comes out, which is exciting because you will be out in a couple of weeks after this is recorded. So that'll be cool. So is there anything that you'd love to leave us with that we haven't covered today?
I've been loving this analogy, right? And it just kind of summarizes everything we've been speaking about. And if you, I'm going to assume that everyone's seen like a movie or seen a film clip or something, and they kind of see like a music producer or a DJ's mixing like deck, I suppose, with all these toggles on it. And if you, you can think about your health and wellness and all aspect of that, is one of those little toggles on a slide. And how I like to think about it is, if you have a look at that, they make these little tweaks and they move one up, one down, and they're all in these different positions. And that's what makes this music sound amazing, or this kind of their voices sound amazing, or whatever the case is. If they're all pushed down one end, sounds terrible, right? If they're all pushed up one end, the other end sounds terrible as well. They're all like finely balanced. And actually, I don't even like the word balance. They're all in harmony. Let's roll with that, because balance means everything's even, right? And that's what I think a lot of people strive for. They try and get everything even all the time. And even's probably not what works best for you. Harmony, though, means that regardless of where different aspects of your life are at, they all work together in that moment. And it means that it can change as well. So like you mentioned, at one point you might prioritize your health and your fitness, and something else takes a slightly back seat. In another season or in another aspect of your life, you might prioritize your business, which means a different aspect of your life takes a back seat. But if you find it in harmony, it means that you accept that and you're aware of that, and that's fine. You're not fighting to try and give everything your attention when it's unrealistic to do so. Does that make sense?
I think that's awesome, Ben. I haven't even heard that analogy, but as you explained that, I was picturing the little toggles, like you said. And I've always shared as well harmony over balance, because you're right. You want to be in a place that you're accepting of, yeah, my business is banging right now and I need to focus on that, and my health and fitness isn't my number one priority. And that's definitely something that's been prevalent for me over the last couple of years, that my business is amazing. It's my number one priority. And yes, health and fitness is a very high value for me, but I've had to recognize, to get to where I'm at, I had to focus on business a little bit more than fitness and health. And so finding that comfortable place where harmony is rather than finding the balance is really perfect. I love that you shared that with us. Thank you so much for that. So where can people find you online?
I'm glad it made sense. I was like, oh, I hope this works. But in my head, it works really well. Perfect. So I'll roll with it.
It's perfect.
Awesome. I'm most active on Instagram. So Coach Coulter, COULTER, is the best spot. If you've got any questions, please feel free to shoot me a message on there and I'll get back to you for sure.
It's awesome. So you guys can come on to Instagram and hang out with Ben in the DMs. Don't send him any sleazy DMs. He is a good looking guy, but you can just message him about health and fitness. And I'm sure he'll be hoping to chat with you. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I've loved our chat and I love our friendship. So it's been great to have you on and, you know, get a little bit of a look inside what you're up to and your thoughts and knowledge on the health and fitness space. And super excited to see you guys launch Addicted to Fitness. And I will leave that in the show notes for people as well.